Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Matt and Dwight Just Might, a podcast about two Midwest-based comedians that are just trying to figure it out as they make their way through comedy and life and everything in between. My name is Matt Alano Martin. With me, as always, Dwight Simmons. Dwight, how are you doing on this dark and cloudy day?
It is dark and cloudy, but I am bright and full of sunshine. I am doing all right, Matt. What about you?
I'm feeling the darkness and the cloudiness, man. I'm I don't know if I'm just going to go with it or I'm going to try to rally against it, but we'll see as the podcast goes on.
Yeah, you're leaning into the weather of middle of January.
Yeah, like, you know, there's nothing wrong with a little gloom every now and then, you know?
I agree. Well, speaking of which, I went to an open mic last night at Helium. Speaking of dark and gloomy.
Perfect segue.
Well, I don't go to a lot of mics, and I hadn't been on stage in a couple weeks, and I needed to dust the cobwebs off. And so I went to the Helium open mic, and they're doing bucket spots if you don't sign up in advance.
Oh.
So that was my night. I got on because the host was kind enough to pull my name out of the bucket.
Yeah.
Air quotes. But yeah, it was so many people. I'm not sure if it's, you know, beginning of the year, people getting their resolutions or they want to try something new for the first time, but it was so packed.
I mean, it's full of comics, not actual people, just packed full of comics. No,
yeah.
Probably. Yeah.
There was an audience though.
That's good.
Which is nice, but well, it wasn't like an attic mic. Where it's hot and like controlled to 12 people, 12 comics.
Well, the attic mic can get a little bit, you're just reminding me how spoiled we are. A long attic open mic is like 15 people. If they like just have to, like, for whatever reason, you know, they wind up with that many. They try to keep it at 12, but sometimes it goes to 15. Mm-hmm. So the Helium mic was already pretty long before they added bucket spots.
Yeah.
And like the pre-sign up a week in advance. And if we don't get you this week, we'll get you next week.
Right.
System that they were using was already like something like 20 comics usually, right?
Yep. I think
and
so.
And so how many comics were on at this time?
Still probably like either 18 or like 18 to 22. And the bucket spots get 3 minutes. Shocker went over my time.
What?
But yeah, they give some people, I saw some Bloomington boys there that got like 4 minutes. Which feel like, how do you decide who gets 3 minutes versus who gets 6 minutes? And then you're like, this person, I saw him do three, but I'm gonna give him four.
I think that's exactly how. Oh, I think if you've done it for a couple of times, you get longer periods of time. I do like that you've just fully admitted to doing one of the things we tell people not to do over and over again. We're always like, respect the time, respect the light, don't go over your time. And you're like, yeah, but rules are different for me. I'm Dwight.
The rules are different. I didn't go full Miss Pat or BT and do 35 minutes. But yeah, I mean, they cheated and pulled my name out of the bucket. It's like some things are not equal.
That's okay. All right. That's
some
good.
Some things are not equal. I didn't go crazy, but I just wanted to work on one joke, and it's longer than 3 minutes, especially if I make fun of Deion Curry up top. So, which is a necessity.
You got to do that. You got to like get everybody on your side. I'm assuming Deion was the host, right? So that's why you're making
fun of
him. Yeah. So you got to poke fun at the host and get it going. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's good. Well, how was your ill-gotten gains? How's that joke coming? Do you feel like you got some work done on it?
Nope. I did say it out loud, though, so I'll take it as progress.
All right, there you go.
I wanted to test out a couple of tags. Some news here. I just got an audition in Chicago for Netflix's upcoming series they're doing called Introducing. So it's a 5-minute set, which I am not good at. So I will be doing open mics.
What half a joke are you doing?
I know.
Which setup are you doing?
It's like you get excited to get the audition and then you're like, oh shit, this is not for me. But I will be doing a bunch of mics. And then I have a lot of shows in the next few weeks that I will be trying to force feed a couple of 5-minute sets in the longer set.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
So first of all, congratulations on this audition. That's awesome. And when is the audition? So you said it sounds like you have about a month to run this and kind of get it figured out.
2 weeks from yesterday. So it's on the 23rd, January 23rd.
Right.
Which is a Tuesday in Chicago. So I'll probably hit a mic tonight, tomorrow, and I'm in Saugatuck on Saturday, the 13th, which is just a workout room anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll do... That'll be like the real test of how do I, can I start the set how I would start it with a 5-minute, you know, just get into it.
Yeah. And then, I think that's, yeah, that's kind of what you're going to have to do, right? Is just put it right up front. Once you kind of are figuring out what you want it to be, just start with it.
Yeah.
And then also end with it. Just,
and then do it
twice on each show. See if it works better up top or at the end, you know?
Hey guys, I got a new tag that I thought of in the last 35 minutes that I was up here.
Yep. There you go.
I'm gonna run this bit again.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't know. I'm excited. That's one of the things that's paying off from doing all these festivals this year was Great. Making that connection, and then the guy reaching out and saying that he'd like to see me audition. And I was like, can I do 15 instead of 5? Because that's a bit like all these industry auditions are like do 3 minutes to 5 minutes, and it's not always the best representation of what a comic is, especially if they're booking you for a 15-minute set. Wouldn't they want to see the whole
thing? You would think. I mean, I guess it's just so they can see the most people possible within a time frame. Yeah. I mean, well, that's like the, you know, like the America's Got Talent auditions.
Sure.
You know, you're supposed to do 60
one
seconds.
Minute. Yeah.
Yeah, crazy. 1 minute. But that's also about all you get on the fucking show, too. So that one at least is accurate. Like, they kind of like, what would you do on the show?
Right.
You know? But yeah, this seems crazy. But yeah, that's really exciting. And I'm glad you got at least a couple of weeks to kind of figure this out. And hell yeah, dude.
Yeah, man. I'll go to more bucket spot mics.
Yeah.
I did. Dude. So I've got a run in Michigan next week. And I have the that Thursday off. I'm there. Mm. I'm in Michigan Wednesday, Friday, Saturday. I have that Thursday off.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm just driving to Chicago to do some spots.
Nice.
So... to sharpen it up. We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see, Matt.
Well, we'll all see when we see you on Netflix, whenever this would come out. I don't know, in 2026, maybe. I don't know. Like, yeah. I don't know how long in advance their production stuff is. Kind of the Comedy Central stuff is super far in advance. Like,
right.
You know, when we went down and saw Tom Tokar tape his special, it then came out like a year later. And we were like, oh, right. We were there. Oh, fuck. I remember that.
they kept that George Bush joke in, huh?
Yeah, that was crazy. Wow. Yeah. You think they would have taken that one out. Well, that's awesome, dude. You want to go ahead and do plugs since we're kind of doing some plugs, and we usually bury them well into the podcast, but we'll switch it up. Let's do these plugs right now. So you are in Michigan next week. Let's talk about where you're going to be at.
Right on. So I am this Saturday, the 13th, in Saugatuck. If you listen to this podcast, you can come to that show. I don't know why you would. I don't think we have any fans in Saugatuck. Mm-hmm. Which is why I openly talk shit about it. And then I'm doing a really fun show Sunday, 14th, in Bloomington. Cardinal Spirits sponsor the Limestone Comedy Festival. Matt runs the show. It's fun. I'm looking forward to it. It'll be a good test for me to see where some new stuff's at. Okay. And then doing a corporate on Wednesday, the 17th. And then I'm doing spots in Chicago. I'm not putting those on my website. They're just dropping spots. And then... mm-hmm. The 19th and 20th, that's the Friday and Saturday of next week, I will be at the Underground Laugh Lounge in Niles, Michigan. So come to those.
Yeah. Tickets available for the ones that you want people to come to at your website.
Yes.
Yes.
WhiteSimmons.com.
You know. Yeah, I'll go ahead and do my plugs real quick. they're important, and we'll get into this for a second. This weekend on the 12th and the 13th, you can find me at the Brick Room Comedy Club in Noblesville, Indiana. And then the following weekend on the 19th and 20th, I'll be at the Lucky Cat, Cedar Rapids, Iowa. I will also be at Cardinal Spirits on the 14th, but I'm just hosting. I'm just kind of getting the party going and then making way for my dude, Dwight, and some other really funny comics like Lauren Raven and Jenna Schroedt and Laura Stockwell also on that show. But yeah, the reason that my plugs are important is I did get a message from Eric, owner of the Brick Room Comedy Club. Just give me a heads up, just like a hey, just so you know, we have sold zero tickets. So
oh, shit.
Freaking zero goose egg for this weekend. So, you know, just a fun little thing for my mental health. He wanted to drop on me on you know, on a Wednesday, on a gloomy ass Wednesday. Hey,
just a heads up.
Just a heads up. I know you're about to record your podcast where you talk about comedy with your buddy Dwight, who's doing so much better than you are. Let me just go ahead.
Oh, my God.
Now,
is that what he said? Is that what he said?
In yeah, the email? It was implied.
You're reading it verbatim?
It was definitely implied, you know.
Oh, man.
But yeah, I mean, it's just Wednesday. It's a small room. It doesn't take very many people to get in that room for it to feel good. Mm-hmm. He's started running a second ad, he said, which is the first ad I've seen. I did see an ad start today, but maybe he wasn't targeting. I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah.
But I'm still promoting it, so we'll see. That's just how it goes sometimes. And then I would love to be able to tell you, I do have that ticket link available up on my website, which you can find by Googling my name, Matt Alano Martin. But then also next week, I talked to Haley from the Lucky Cat, and yeah. She said there's some issue with her website because I saw my dates were not listed on the website.
Oh,
she's like,
God.
There's something going on with the website. I cannot get the tickets to upload. I cannot get those links to work. So we might be doing some shows in Cedar Rapids. It's a long way to go to hope people just show up at the door.
What is going on? What is going on?
I'm cursed, I guess. I don't know what I did.
You flew very close to the sun with those New Year's shows. Selling out.
That's what it was. I had a couple of good shows in a row. How dare I? So now I'm being punished by
comedy. Don't like that. Comedy did not like that.
They did not, no. And so, yeah, so that's the state of things right now is come see me on the rapidly disintegrating career tour.
We're 10 days into January.
I know.
You're going to be okay. You're going to be okay. Well, I think the Brick Room is like a last minute type room anyway, right?
I would think so. And the time I did it before, he definitely acted like that. It's where people just kind of like, oh, it's a thing to do. They never have any idea who's on the shows. Mm-hmm. It's just like, oh, well, let's go do this comedy thing. But we'll see. He seemed to act like it was worth texting me about. So,
shit. I wish I could tell people to go there. I'll retweet you.
I hyped it. You know, I'm in promoting it. I started yesterday on the promo stuff, and so I did another one today. So we'll just keep doing it, and we'll see if it works or not. But who knows? But a quick recap: were you still off last week, other than the open mic?
Yeah, I didn't do anything. I didn't do anything last week. It was pretty great, but now I have the panic setting in. It's like it's nice in the moment when you're just you're off and you're spending time with your family and your wife. And then as soon as yesterday came around, I was like, oh, shit, I haven't even thought about this bit in 2 weeks. So,
yeah,
you're like, oh, full panic. So but now it's just the next few weeks are a pedal to the metal.
Yeah, you have like I said, you have plenty of time. Luckily, it wasn't just like we had someone fall out your last minute replacement for this audition.
Mm-hmm.
Can you get to Chicago in 5 hours, you know, and audition, like that kind of shit, which does happen sometimes. Sometimes that stuff falls in your lap. So you have plenty of time to get ready for it, though, which is good. I did have some shows. I was in Colorado this weekend, and I had a fantastic show at Sushi High. I closed that out. It's Katie Bowman and Brad Galley's show. It's in the basement of this dope-ass sushi place. Not a ton of people, probably like 18, 19 people there, but they were there to be there. Like, it was great. It was like legitimately top to bottom great show. All the other comics were great, and we just had a lot of fun. And then I did 50 First Jokes at the Bug Theater, and it's one of those things where, you know, you have 2 minutes or less, basically, is what your joke has to be,
right?
There's 25 of us on stage sitting up there, and we just go up one at a time and do our jokes, and then there's an intermission, and then we leave and the other 25 come out for the second half of the show. So, you know, sold out show at the Bug Theater, and hosted so well, so funny. Zach Moss and Chrissy Buckley co-hosted it, did great. My joke did okay. It did fine, you know, but it's one of those things where like I'm in front of 24 of my peers and however many from the second half are, you know, watching in the room or listening backstage or whatever. So you want to, crush. And it was like, I didn't crush. It did okay. I got there by the end of the joke. I got like big laughs. The rule is it has to be something that you've written since January 1st.
Okay. Yeah.
And you could not have done it. You could have done it at an open mic, but you could not have done it on a paid show. Well, I didn't have any open mics. The only show I had before was that paid show. And I tested it out on some friends. I went to see my friends Murder by Death Play while I was in Colorado. So I'm in the green room, like one at a time, I kind of got them separately. And I was like, hey, this is what I'm thinking. And it tested well. Like they all like, okay, that's funny. Yeah. But it just was like one of those things. I'm like, ah. So driving back the whole time, I'm just like not feeling great about it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just like, ah, that's not the note I wanted to end on. I was hoping to make a bigger splash. This is not just a scene that I respect a lot. And also by far, I was not the worst one. Like there are other people whose jokes got less response than mine did.
Right.
But I wanted to stand out because, you know, it's like, I'd like to be invited back to do High Plains. I'd like to, you know, be able to go and close out bar shows like Sushi High anytime that I, you know, can schedule it coming through in advance. And people were like, I don't know. Did you see his 51st joke? I don't know. It wasn't popping.
You got the, oh my God. That's so, so last week you didn't even have, what joke you were going to do when we recorded.
No.
I said, luckily you have this long ass drive.
Exactly.
So is that where you came up with it?
I started coming up with, if people listening to the last episode know that I had an email from a life coach and I started writing a joke about life coaches, right? Yeah. And I was like, this is maybe not, it just seemed like this needs to be coming out of the therapy chunk. Like there feels like for me to just jump into this thing, kind of poking fun at life coaches. I was like, I don't know if this is really the thing. This is a joke that I had said in conversation to Mitchell Potts one time. Just, I'd never done it on stage and I never actually figured out the beats of it. It was just a funny idea that I had.
Right.
And I'll just tell you what it is. Cause I don't think I'm going to keep it in the set.
Yeah.
So, but I thought that was strong. So the idea is, you know, I really hope that I keep my mental clarity all the way through to the very end, you know, because I had to expect it's like a great comfort whenever you're laying on your deathbed to be able to look back over your life and remember all the ass you got. That's gotta be. Yeah. You know, and then there's like tag. And, you know, and then I talk about how like I want to be, you know, welcomed to the everlasting arms of Jesus with a nostalgia boner, you know. Yeah. And so like I got it there.
Right.
But like your little response, like, huh, nice. That's basically what the audience gave me too. Right.
I felt like I had a little perv giggle.
Yes, exactly.
I was like, yeah, man, me too.
Yeah, and but then the thing is, like, and I had to save it in the moment. It was like, this isn't just me. I was like, I want this for all of us, no matter who you are.
Nice. Yeah.
That as everything starts to go dim, you could cry out, I was a fuck machine in my 30s, you know. Because I was in real time, I'm processing. I'm like, oh, as a straight white guy, an older straight white guy, this comes off kind of perverted or dirty old man-ish. Mm-hmm. And so I had to do extra work to get, like, the audience to laugh at it, I feel like. Because
yeah.
I love Denver. Denver is a very woke city.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's one of those things where another guy did a joke that was pretty fucking dark about the Epstein's list that came out.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
And they didn't give him a lot on that either. Cause like, and I was like, it was a funny joke.
Yeah.
It was funny, but they were just like, oh, we don't know how we're going to do, you know?
Right.
So I had to tap dance in the moment to get it to where I got. And I got lost by the time, like second tag was the fuck machine thing. And that finally cracked him, and then
right.
I did the nostalgia boner. I got a good response,
yeah,
but it still was the sort of thing like you want to just be like pap pap pap,
right?
So on the drive back, I'm just bleh.
That's heavy lifting in 2 minutes, because I feel like that's a great premise if you can build it out.
Yes.
You said you may not keep it, but like that's certain jokes aren't fit for 2 minutes.
Yes, you know exactly. What I mean?
It's like, do we trust this guy to be talking about his raging sex life in his 30s? We don't know you yet.
Yes, exactly.
Which is kind of the fun concept of that show, is like trying to figure out how to get them immediately on your side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But
the biggest response that I think anybody got was a guy went up and did basically like a 15-second long pun.
Right.
And this comic is known for doing that kind of stuff. But it was like the sort of thing that was like very... like I, a lot of other people, I think, would roll their eyes at it, or if it was in a regular ass set and it wasn't just because like, and he got a laugh on doing it. And then he just immediately went and sat down, and that got the bigger laugh. Like, oh shit, that's everything he's going to do. That was the bigger laugh. It's like, oh, that's all he's doing.
That's
is this
the bit.
One, not even a one liner, like a half liner. It was so fucking quick.
Yeah.
And so, you know, but it's whatever. I might keep it. I don't know. Like I did call my buddy Anna Valenzuela, like as, cause I was just started driving back to Indiana too, after the show. And so she's on the West Coast. So it was early. And I just like hit her up. I was like, hey, do you have a show? Are you free? She was free. And so I just kind of talking about it with her, and she was like the same thing. She was like, that could be a good joke in the set. Mm-hmm. If you keep it, because there's like, there's something really funny about that idea that also I think is kind of universally true.
Yeah.
If you can make it universal, you know, right. Like hopefully everybody has like a highlight reel of their best sex mm-hmm. that they can play on recall. Like, you know, like I wasn't always this husk of a shell.
That Black Mirror episode where you can just rewind your memories and you can like play it on TV and just show your friends. Like, see, I told you, gather around, grandkids.
Yeah. So I don't know, but I may or may not keep that anyway. But anyway, so that was the start of the, you know, downward spiral. And then it's been bad ever since.
It always sucks when you have to do a long drive mm-hmm. after a disappointment.
Yeah.
Because did you stop halfway through?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's like a 15, 16 hour drive to
Some
Denver.
Do that.
And so, no, I don't know. I drove like 5 hours that night. Not
the rage
that night.
Fueled you?
No, I drove 5 hours that night, and then I took a nap, and then I got up and drove the rest of it the next day.
Okay,
so which is still a lot.
10 hours, bro. Yeah, that's insane.
Yeah,
that's nuts. That's nuts. Well, you've been going to Denver for a long time, man.
That's I'm sure it's fine.
Reputation is.
I'm sure it's all fine.
2 minute set. It's all fine.
It's all gonna work out great for all of us. It's gonna be good. But in general, I had a great time while I was there. And again, that Sushi High show was tons of fun, even with like a smaller turnout. Like they were mm-hmm. popping. It was great. So this experience that I just had actually just dovetails perfectly. It segues perfectly into one of the questions that we have received. We talked about last week how this week we're gonna tackle a couple of questions from the inbox. And so let's go ahead and jump into that right now. We have two questions for the pod. This first one comes from Natalie Bainter, Bloomington comic, very funny, and also has written to the podcast before, I believe. And thank you, Natalie, for writing in. Appreciate it. And Natalie's topic plays in very well to my experience that I had in Colorado. She says, hello, friends. I've got another question for the pod. I'm not caught up on the last two episodes, but hopefully this hasn't been asked before. I just want to put a pause here. Even if we don't expect everyone to listen to every single episode, and we cover a lot of the same topics over and over again, because there's real fundamental things in comedy that it's good to go back and touch base with, mm-hmm. and particularly this stuff that we're about to talk about in this question. It's A-okay. If other people have this question later on down the road, we'll take a stab on it and we'll be your comedy therapists.
Your comedy life coaches.
No, but not your comedy life coaches.
Come on. We have so much leeway if we call ourselves life coaches.
That's true. That we can't be sued, for one. That's a big one. But Natalie goes on to ask, we all have those shows that for one reason or another are humbling to us. We make a mistake. We forget something. We get misunderstood. The crowd is disrespectful, and we question why the hell we drove out to wherever, and maybe why we're even doing comedy. You name it. There's plenty of things to make one want to curl up in a ball after a quote-unquote bad show. When you guys have a moment like that, how do you comfort yourself and move through the moment? Do you have a favorite palate cleanser? Do you have any post-bad show rituals? Keep up the good work. As always, your pal, Natalie. Thank you, Natalie, for the question. And as you just heard, I just had one of those experiences. Mm-hmm. And what I did is I called a friend, a comedian friend who I trust, who is going to be honest with me, but also going to be encouraging. You don't want to call the one comedy friend who's too honest. Don't call that person in that moment. You know, or text if you're not driving, you know, at the time. But just, we've all been through it. We've all had bad shows, and it's good to have a peer and a friend talk you down. You know, it's not as bad as you think it was. And even if it was as bad as you think it was, it's one show, right? Mm-hmm. And like you just said, it was a 2 minute bit. Nobody cares, really, at the end of the day. You know, what I did to try to, outside of that, I was just talking to Anna on the phone, was luckily I did have those New Year's Eve shows that were pretty recent that I could remember back to. I was like, wait, I am good at comedy. And I had that Sushi High show. You're like, I am good at this. I am, you know,
yeah,
it's not all this moment, you know, right. And luckily I had a pretty recent thing to remember back to. But even if it's not that recent, even if you've been off stage for a while or you're in a slump of bad shows, which happens to all of us. I know, apparently I'm starting one right now with all kinds of technical and ticket buying issues. But, you know, what I always say is like the longer that you do this, the easier it gets, in the fact that you have hopefully you have more wins than you have losses, right? If you look at it like a baseball, you know, like a baseball team's like record for the season, you know, is your comedy career, you know, you're going to have losses. It's just going to happen. But as long as you can look back to that overall record and it's mostly wins, you can be like, okay, dust yourself off. Like I'm still in this. It's still good. You know, now it's hard to get your mind into that state. Even when you're trying sometimes, you're like, I don't know why this was so perfect for the way my brain works, but there is a Jackie Chan film with Owen Wilson called Shanghai Noon.
It's a legendary film.
Legendary film. It's a classic film. It's one of my favorite Jackie Chan films. And but there's a thing where Owen Wilson's character is about to have like the shootout with the quick draw with the sheriff, and you hear his internal monologue. He's like, "You got this. You got this. No, you don't. He's gonna kill you. He's gonna kill you." Like, "No, don't be like that." And you hear his entire and it's back and forth. He's like, "You're a dead man. No, man, you got it." That's how it is sometimes when you're trying to pull yourself up out of the gloom.
Right.
And, you know, so when all of that fails, when you can't in the conscious mind pull yourself up out, just get yourself out of that mindset. Listen to something that makes you happy, a favorite album. I definitely don't recommend listening to other stand-up at that moment, because I have SiriusXM with all the stand-up channels and stuff. The last thing I want to hear is other people doing well. You know? And so, but I listened to I listened to a comedy podcast that isn't stand up. I listened to an episode of Bonanas for Bonanzas, which is an Andy Daly thing. And like, just, you know, watch a favorite movie, just take a break from comedy brain and get yourself out of it and just kind of, you know, start again the next day. That's how I do it anyway. Dwight, I know that you have never had a bad set. You're like Sinbad. You've never had a bad
Sinbad
show.
Yeah. People be falling asleep, but it's not in a bad way.
what's your ritual for getting out of a bad show?
I try to remind myself that they will always let you do it again, no matter where, no matter what. You can always go and try again. There's a window. Everyone differs in this. There's a window of opportunity where you can honestly reflect on why the set went so poorly. It's probably not right after the set, probably not right
absolutely
in the moment,
not.
Maybe
absolutely
the next
not.
Day.
Yeah.
The next day where you can be like, okay, reflect. Are there things that I can improve on? Was it a bad room? If I look at these things objectively, was it a mixture of both, which happens a lot? Sometimes the show's not going well up top and you just say, fuck it. And you mail it in and you listen back and you're like, oh, there was no heart into this.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I'm guilty of doing that. And then I think, like you said, the longer that you do this, the more ways you have to pull yourself out of a bad set in the moment, or at least try to control as many things in the room as possible. So I know that's not like a quick fix or like really a mental health tip, but I remember my shows that I did when I headlined Crackers. Those are the worst weekend I've ever had. And it took me a good, probably a month to like get out of that. They were so terrible and I felt helpless. I felt like there was nothing I could do while I was on stage. And I was just reflecting on that to the point where it made all the sets I did after that month probably worse than they should have been. I was just in a bad mood. So pulling yourself out of it as quickly as possible is really important. Just reminding yourself that, hey, you're going to be able to, you're going to be able to get on stage. There are times that you have done well, like you said, remind yourself of that. And then, you know, you're not in control of everything. I love listening to music. That's my go-to. I love listening to different types of music. If anything, you know, we're both hip hop heads. There's some bravado that you get with that. I love lyrics. I love hero story that just you know, I went through this negative thing and now I'm going to pull myself back up and then be even stronger after. So that you kind of have to have this mindset of, I'm that motherfucker. You do. Yeah. It sounds counterintuitive after bad sets to be that brazen of being like, I'm that guy. I'm that person. I can do this. Mm-hmm. And then go back out with that mindset. It may take you a minute to get there, but I think that's it's either that or you just become this shell of what you want to be. And you see it happen a lot, and it's unfortunate. But I think whatever you do when you're having a bad day, apply that to what you're doing when you're in a rut of bad shows.
Right.
Try to get yourself mentally prepped in a position to be successful.
So thank you for writing in the question, Natalie. You know, hopefully those tips will help you out, you know, next time. Well, first of all, hopefully you don't ever have that ever again. It's nothing but great shows from here on out for
we're
you.
We're all looking up, baby.
Yeah, exactly. maybe I'm like the character in The Green Mile. Maybe I'm just sucking all the bad shows and the sickness out of everyone who listens to this podcast. I'm going to have a terrible year, but you guys are all going to be healthy and killing it all year long.
Well, I mean, we'll talk about this later, but who's having a worse start to the year, you or Joe Coy?
I did not watch this. I was still driving back, so I missed his entire monologue, and I only saw the very end of the Golden Globes. But yeah, apparently it did not go well.
Well, he did the thing where it's your 51st jokes. He got the gig, and 10 days later, they're like, you want to come and tell these jokes?
Did he get the show 10 days earlier?
Yeah. Like, they couldn't find anybody. And then they asked him, and then he had a meltdown and blamed his writers.
On stage, he blamed his writers?
Yeah, like two or three times.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was cringy. Holy I didn't think shit. He would. This is, I didn't think he was doing poorly, but like 4 minutes in, he's like, I wrote some of the jokes and other people wrote some of the jokes and I wrote the ones you're laughing at. I didn't write all these.
Oh my God.
I was like, oh God. Oh no.
I will say that like the parts that I saw at the end, whenever presenters were making like little, you know, pre-written sketch bits or whatever, like little back and forth, like most of them fell flat too.
Yeah.
Like the only one that actually kind of got laughs was Simon Liu and Issa Rae.
Yeah,
when they did their thing about how like they hope now because of the Barbie movie that they're able to play white people roles. Yeah. Like that was the only one that actually hit and got laughs, but every other one, it just was like everything was dead. So
yeah,
it might have, I don't know, but yeah, Joe got in his own head, I guess, a little bit there on stage. Like,
yeah, I mean, we all do it. Yeah. We all do it. You got I didn't watch the whole thing. He just got eviscerated. I watched his monologue, but I didn't watch the rest of the Golden Globes. But what a send a person to the wolves situation.
I know. Yeah. And it's like, I mean, this is the show. This is the one that they used to have Ricky Gervais on all the time. And he would just shit on everybody. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. I don't know why he wouldn't just go with that model.
I mean, he was trying, but it was like, you know, I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know. 10 days isn't a lot of time to prepare a 15-minute set.
No shit. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so. And they're all going to be, you know, the one thing you cannot do is you cannot make fun of Will Smith's wife.
you don't want that smoke.
You know that smoke. Although isn't Joe Coy like one of them MMA bros? I feel like, yeah, I think
is
he's
he?
Part of the Rogan crew. Yeah, I think I saw a thing one time where they were like talking. So he could have been fine.
It doesn't mean that Will Smith is not still a very large human being.
I'm just saying it would have been a little bit more even, you know. Like,
well, yeah, rest in peace to him because he made fun of Taylor Swift, and
that is
a big no. Yeah, it's a wrap for him.
It's done. He's over. Yeah. Why'd you bury the lead? You should have just let me know that that's what he did, and I'd be like, oh, goddamn.
He was struggling, and he was like, Taylor Swift. It's like, oh no.
Oh no, that's not what you do.
No.
He's panicked. He's full on panic mood. Anyway, we do have one more question of the week. And then if we get through this, we'll talk about Cat Williams.
Yeah, we have to talk about Cat.
Holy shit, Cat. Oh my God. Amazing. So we do have another question that came in over the break. This is from Connor Delahanty. Connor writes, "Hi, longtime friend, first time questioner, Connor Delahanty here. first tell John Handcuff I said hi. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure John still listens to the podcast. I know he used to, but John, in case you do, this has been a little Easter egg for you. Connor says hi. Second, I have a multi-part question. I have noticed that crowds are a little more chatty lately, and people seem to offer up information that invites crowd work clips, mm-hmm. as in it feels like people interrupt with intention of being in a viral crowd work clip. One, have you noticed any different behavior from crowds in response to the crowd work renaissance? And two,
yes.
Okay, well, we can start with the one. Yes, yes, Connor, we have noticed this, and we both have sold our souls and are playing into it, you know? It is interesting, though, I will say that, because I do have like three jokes now that are devices to open up for a second, like do crowd work for, does it, and then fold back into the bit, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not out there hunting. I'm just like, if I can get something cool. And it's always interesting. Some crowds, though, are not, you think every single crowd is like this now.
Yeah.
And some crowds do not want to play. Some crowds are just like, nope. And it's, so it's, if you are going to be going after those viral clips, you need to have an escape plan. Mm-hmm. You need to do it. Like, if I can be egotistical for a minute, and this is a man who has sold zero tickets for this weekend, so you should listen to me. having your crowd work built into a joke, right? Like, it's mm-hmm. like, you know, the first one I ever did was talking about being on my second marriage. Has anybody here ever been married more than once, like two or three times? Mm-hmm. I've opened, created the opportunity to do a little crowd work and then immediately get right back into the joke.
Mm-hmm.
And so when nobody says anything, I'm like, oh, cool, just me. All right. And then I just go into the joke. It doesn't derail the entire show. I go, nobody, nobody, come on. Statistically speaking, no, y'all just, no, you know, like that kind of shit that you see people do.
You've always done that. Like, you've always introed that joke with that question before the crowd work renaissance or whatever. You've always known that this is just a device to get into the bit. It's not, there's a difference between that and then actively seeking out, which is like the crowds, though, can't tell the difference.
The crowds cannot tell the difference. And but to Connor's point, yes, we both have noticed that in certain cities and certain crowds, they're a lot more chatty. They're yelling shit out. They are like, some people are too excited to be sitting up front.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no one should be that excited to be sitting up front if you're not a famous comic. If you see like the glee in their eyes, you're like, oh, fuck, this is going to be an issue, right? You know, and we've talked about this on the podcast several times, you know, like when you were in Detroit at House of Comedy, was it House of Comedy?
Yep.
And the headliner had to keep dealing with it because someone just kept yelling out, trying to be part of the show.
Yeah, because his entire social media presence is him doing crowd work. It's just crowd work clips. So that's what they expect.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So there is that. We bemoaned it for a long time before we just both threw in our hats and decided, fuck it, we'll also post crowd work clips. Yes, this is something that social media has brought about, and it definitely is changing the behavior in crowds. This brings us to Connor's second question, which is, I think, the real question that he has here, which is, what is the most polite way to tell an audience that you have zero curiosity or interest about their jobs, dating situation, lives, etc.? And so I think you could always go with the classic, shut the fuck up! You know, I think that's...
That's polite.
It's polite, right?
Connor would ask about the most polite way to do something. what's the least confrontational I can be to shut down a crowd? I always go with, hey, I'm not the guy. I'm not that guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not that person. I'm just going to tell the jokes.
Yeah. And how does that go when you do that? When you've had to drop that on them?
I don't know. It's a crowd. It's not like, you have to be in the moment with these things. You can't be like, this works every time with every single crowd. You have to be able to read if the crowd wants you to lean in or if they want you to shut down. Like, sometimes we make the wrong read and go a little too hard and the crowd turns on us.
Right.
And then we're like, oh, I thought I was doing it for y'all. I was doing it for you guys. I was telling her to shut the fuck up, bitch, for y'all. But like, you have to be able to read in the moment what the room needs. Like, if unfortunately, when something like that happens, you need to be able to take back the control, but you have to do it in a way that is going to allow you to continue your set for the rest of the audience.
Mm-hmm.
We always get like focused on the one or two people that are chatting out, but like, you got 40 other people that are just there for stand-up comedy jokes, which those people do still exist. Mm-hmm. You have to, I don't know. It's a high wire rope act, man. I don't know.
I think the majority of people who are coming out still want you to be up there and be the narrator and be doing jokes. They're not looking for it to be a crowd work experience. The majority of people in any comedy room are still going or they're at least more than happy to just sit back and let you tell them jokes. Mm-hmm. I think when it's happened, you know, like this is an example. I did it, and this was as polite as I could be. I was featuring for Jackie Cation at Dr. Gren's last year. Mm-hmm. And there was a super drunk 21-year-old dude who kept just chirping, and he chirped all through the host set, and the host kind of like zinged him a couple of times or whatever. And the minute he started doing during my set, I just stopped. I was like, "Hey man, it's like, have you ever been to a stand-up comedy show before?" And he's like, "No." He's like, "But I love watching it on TikTok." And mm-hmm. he's like, and I think it was Andrew Santino or somebody like that. He's like, "I watch his clips all the time." I was like, "Oh, okay." I was like, "Well, not every comic does." I just explained it to him. I basically just explained to this drunk 21-year-old. I was like, not every comic does that. A lot of us, we just tell stories, we tell jokes and everything. Like, you'll know if we want to talk to you. Okay. Yeah. It's like, we'll call on you if we want, you know, you to be part of it, but otherwise just hang back and just enjoy the, and he was genuinely like, "Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize," you know? And then of course he got removed shortly thereafter because he was so shit faced. He was so drunk that then he was just being an issue to the people around him. He was no longer chirping into the audience, you know? But I mean, you can do that. You can just frankly address it. You can just, I think also, depending on how loud they're being and what they're doing, you can ignore it.
A lot of times,
if someone yells something out and you just completely ignore them mm-hmm. once or twice, then a lot of times they'll stop.
Love it.
Because they were trying to "Hey, hey." And then if you just ignore it, mm-hmm. then they'll stop. And again, a lot of it's in what room you're in. A good room will send security over to, they're like, tell that person to shut the fuck up. Mm-hmm. You know, they'll take care of it for you. But realistically, 9 times out of 10, it's on you on stage to handle it.
Yeah.
You know, because also the comedy clubs now are kind of like, if they haven't explicitly asked you, they're like, "Oh, maybe they want to talk to that," you know, because they don't know what you're into. You that shit. But, you know, I think you can do it and just indirect ways by ignoring them or by directly just saying, "Hey, I'm not really a crowd work person. I just brought some jokes and stories I'm going to tell you. Is that cool?" You know?
Yeah. I love the ignoring. I saw mm-hmm. like, I love to do that. That's my first instinct, is usually just ignore it and move mm-hmm. on. I saw Jeff Asmus, who is big on social media. Like, he has a crowd that will chirp out because they're dumb. But they'll say something and he'll acknowledge it with just like, "Uh-huh-huh, yeah." And then he'll immediately go into another joke. Like, even that, like, calmed them down. It's like, okay, he heard what I said. He's like,
acknowledged them, and then gave them no space to continue by immediately going into a joke.
Yep. Yeah. And that's demoralizing. If you don't give them, you know, mm-hmm. you don't give them air for their fire to keep going. So there's different things you can do, but
yeah. I also would just say, I don't know, Connor, maybe don't be so self-centered. Maybe, you know, develop an interest in your audience's jobs and their dating situations and their lives. Maybe it doesn't have to all be about you. Thank you, Connor, for writing in the question. I definitely appreciate it. And also, I just want to give a special shout out to Connor. Connor came and saw me perform in Fisher's at the Memento Zero Proof Bar Lounge show I did a couple weeks ago.
Oh, nice.
And he didn't have to do that. And I appreciate it. Like, when people show up, like, this is a thing, I don't know if this is, I've wrestled whether or not to talk about this on the podcast, but mm-hmm. I think I do want to leave it in. I don't have a lot of Bloomington comics come out and see me when I headline the club.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this past weekend, one comic and their partner came. I'm going to stop naming names at this point because I don't want to start. And I understand it's New Year's Eve weekend and people have shit going on, but I also headlined the club earlier in the year.
Yeah.
Nobody came out. I just don't feel like I get a lot of love from my local comedy scene.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to give a big shout out to Connor for doing that, for coming out and seeing me and hanging out. I appreciate that very much. And anyone who's ever done that, there are people who have over the years, and I understand we all have busy lives or whatever, but it just does feel a bit, like, not great. It feels a bit not great.
Yeah,
like,
of course.
Oh, none of these people that are my friends and my peers and that, you know, if I'm going to be really real, that I give a lot of stage time to through my Don't Tell shows and my Cardinal shows and through, you know, Limestone and things like that. And none of them are that interested in reciprocating and coming and showing up
right
to support. Like, I noticed that shit. And maybe that's because I'm a petty bitch. I don't know. But
the petty bitch hour.
Yes.
Now, and this look, is
not all these truths that I drop were written by me. Some of these are written by my writers. And if this was too real and you didn't like it, it was one of my writers wrote this bit. But it's true. I mean, it's true. Yeah. Like, it feels shitty, you know, that I don't always feel that support and love in my own scene. And so thank you, Connor, for being a real dude. And I appreciate you. And I'll shout out the person that always does come out, Jonas. Jonas Schrott always shows up and supports. Mm-hmm. And so those are some real ass motherfuckers. And I appreciate you.
That's awesome, man. Like, that's for real, for real. Like, I think a valid feeling. I don't know why you wouldn't bring that up, because I think that's a common thing that people that headline in their own scenes have. Like, people are either not interested, they're either envious, or they just don't give a shit. Like, this is honestly those one of those three things. Mm-hmm. And that shit does hurt, man. It hurts. Yeah. Like, I headlined Helium, like, earlier last year. Or if I headline any, like, one-off show, it's very rare to have Indianapolis comics come out, you know? It's, you know, I stopped taking it so personal. But it's noticeable. Mm-hmm. And it happens, you know? I don't know what it's about. But, yeah, man, it's easy to notice who's not in the room, who's just kind of hanger on, you know. But
well,
like,
I would take that. I would take people coming to fucking hang on and suck up and like you know, fuck what's it, you know.
But like, how many people go to shows on the weekend anyway?
I mean, that's the other thing is, I don't know. I mean, I might be inflating this in my head or whatever, but you know, like, I then see, you know, in the group chat, like, everybody talking about another headliner who's at the club and how great they are and blah, 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 blah. And, you know, it's like, oh, so y'all could go see that person.
Yeah.
But, and again, New Year's Eve weekend, I'm sure people had shit going on, and I try not to hold on to it and make it personal, but it is like, because it is still kind of fresh. It was just 2 weeks ago.
Right.
It's like, not like only one person on this entire scene.
Right.
Now, I did have a couple comics on the shows with me. Who, that was the other thing, is
that's
like
locals. Yeah.
I gave Jonas a guest set because he showed up. And in my head, I was like, if any of these motherfuckers show up, I'm gonna throw them up on the sold out New Year's Eve shows. And so, like, there's also that too. And again, I'm sure that I'm guilty of it to a certain extent, but I want to say that, like, it's the headlining the home club thing. Mm-hmm. If I headline a one nighter in town, which I don't really do, but if I was in a bigger city like Indy, if I was headlining, I that wouldn't bother me as much. Mm-hmm. But it's like, headlining your home club is a big deal.
Right.
And it should be. And I want to say, I think I've been there, you know, unless I was out of town. And if I was out of town, I sent messages or I posted about it on their behalf for, mm-hmm. you know, any of my friends who have gotten to that point where they're headlining the Attic. I try to push them up and hype them, you know, mm-hmm. even if I can't physically be there. But if I'm in town, I sure as fuck go.
Right.
To hang out and show support. And so, I don't know. It's like, again, I'm only bringing it up because I'm still kind of in this gloomy ass in my feelings shit. Otherwise, mm-hmm. I would just let it go. But yeah, so that's like a sad, weird way to end the podcast. But
nobody.
I'm just saying, this is like the first stages of me turning into Cat Williams. All right. It starts off with noticing this shit. And then I need to go and do a 3-hour challenge.
Oh my God. It was so long.
I do want to say, before we get into the Cat Williams stuff, which I do want to talk about, there is one more line to Connor's email. And before I do read this, again, thank you, Connor, for the question and for being a real ass motherfucker and a hilarious dude. If anyone out there wants to send in a question to the podcast, you can do that at mattanddwight@gmail.com, mattanddwight@gmail.com. Connor does sign off his email by saying, please tell Dwight to keep my name out of his mouth. XOXO, Connor Delahanty. Referencing one of my favorite fucking things to ever happen in local comedy drama.
He can't even get the quote right because he's too nice. And he won't even write a curse word.
What was it was a fucking mouth or goddamn mouth?
Keep my wife's name out of your fucking mouth.
No, I don't think that's what he's referencing. Do you not remember when someone posted on the internet that I don't think they said you by name, but they were definitely were talking about you?
I know that's happened before.
Yeah.
But Connor's told me before to keep his name out of my mouth.
Okay, I know. I'm just saying, I thought he was referencing that thing, that ridiculousness that happened a couple
One
years
time ago. At an open mic, I made fun of a guy who is not great. And
I think not great is like the most complimentary thing anyone has ever said about his com. He's terrible. He's terrible. He's terrible comedy. He's bad. He's terrible. He's awful.
And he was saying some nonsense and he had a sex joke about, I don't know. I can't remember what it was, but it was ridiculous. And I made fun of him. And then I get home and just four people send me this screenshot of a Facebook rant that's like a manifesto.
Mm-hmm.
That ends with keep my name out of your mouth.
And let's be honest, like when that happened, we're going back a couple of years ago. First of all, let's just talk about, like, you were the next comic up and you did what comics do at an open mic or a showcase show. You tagged the last comic in the same way that you talked about, like, you started off your open mic show this week by making fun of Dion, making fun of the host. That's part of it. That's just part of it. It's like an easy way to open up the set. But this person took offense.
He did.
And then wrote this manifesto.
That's how I know it was good. That's how I know whatever I said.
You got his ass. You got his ass.
Accurate.
It stuck with him. It stuck with him. But also, like, the thing that all the rest of us that saw this is like, this is the dumbest motherfucker, because they're like the only like comedian in the greater Indianapolis comedy scene in better shape at the time was BT. And this little scrawny ass motherfucker is like coming at you. We're like, Dwight would fucking destroy, because he kind of made it sound like he wanted to fight you. Like, if you talked about him again, he was going to fight you. And we're like, Dwight would destroy, like,
oh my God.
PT would be the only worst possible person to try to fucking talk shit to. And so anyway, I think that's what Connor was referencing in a funny way, but it could have been the Will Smith thing. I don't know. It could be.
Yeah. You know. Well, Connor, I love you. And come see me about it then. Come see me about it then.
Catch these hands as they wrap around you in a hug. You know what I'm saying?
I will give you the most polite ass kicking your ass has ever seen. I'll do it in a nice way.
And won't ever once ask you about your job or if you're dating anybody. Just what straight up ass kicking. Yep.
I would never fight Connor. He used to wrestle.
Yeah, he used to wrestle. There is that.
Like, he looks like lengthy, like sneaky strong. He doesn't drink anymore. I think he meditates.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this should be an entire episode of the podcast. We rank who's the toughest comedian in the Indianapolis Bloomington comedy scene. I mean, number one, Miss Pat. Nobody wants to fuck with Miss Pat. But
yeah, thank God she moved. Yeah. That changes everything.
Let's talk about Cat Williams real quick and then wrap this thing up. I know, 3 hours. I've been microdosing the Cat Williams.
It's taken me 14 days to finish it. Have you finished it?
I have not finished it. I'm like a couple hours into it. But what is amazing is he says some really real shit and then immediately follows it up with the most batshit insane like conspiracy thing.
I love it. It's so good. It is amazing.
Fantastic.
If you guys have not watched Cat Williams on Club Shay Shay, Shannon Sharpe's show, he's basically calling out the entire industry.
Mm-hmm.
The entire black cabal, as he calls it.
Mm-hmm.
And
the Illuminati. Don't forget the Illuminati.
The Illuminati's in there. What Kevin Hart's had to do to get his level of success. Spoiler alert, it involves being a male prostitute.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Several times.
My favorite was the Ludacris thing. Ludacris had to shave his sideburns. Like, wow, he got off so much easier than Kevin Hart.
No, I'm like, good God, that's it.
All Luda had to do was shave those sideburns. That's all. Here's my thing: is like if Ludacris or Kevin Hart were truly in league with some secret society like the Illuminati, if they really had made a deal with them, wouldn't they be taller? Come on,
come on now. Like, do you think the Illuminati just wanted a short person? Because they offered. Kat said it's between him and Ludacris.
That's true.
I was like, you couldn't have got Terry Crews or The Rock. Like, what are we talking about?
Yeah, I don't know.
It was, I could not turn it off. The only reason I turned it off is because I had place to be, but like,
yeah,
I could, it was absolutely insane. And
I take it back. Actually, Natalie, this is my new answer. Next time you're feeling bad about a set, you just play that interview, that Cat Williams interview.
Oh,
it'll
my God.
Take your brain completely out to places that you were not previously in, for sure.
He's like, says some of the most inspirational stuff, and then he's just like, the Illuminati gives you fat face white women. I'm like, what the fuck? What? He's like, you know, enterprise for yourself, own mm-hmm. your material,
mm-hmm.
keep working. He's like, these people don't write. I'm a real writer. I have this many specials. I pull up other comics. And also, Harvey Weinstein tried to suck my penis twice. I don't know how everybody else got their job, but I'm just saying, it's just insane. It's a wide-ranging, insane interview.
Yeah.
That, like, people did not come into 2024 with a resolution to be kind. I know that much.
No, they did not. I also, like, I thought you were going to see, people did not come into 2024. They were thinking it was the year of the dragon, but they didn't know it was the year of the cat. It's clearly the year of the cat.
It's just all beef. Like, Jimmy Kimmel's beefing with Aaron Rodgers. You see, like, it's nuts. No.
Are they beefing because Aaron Rodgers is still an anti-vax person? Is that what it is?
Well, Aaron Rodgers doesn't like to be called anti-vax. He likes to be called body autonomous. he likes all the facts to come out.
Oh, okay.
Before his body, his choice, as he says. Jimmy Kimmel made fun of him, and then Aaron Rodgers hinted that Jimmy Kimmel would be on the Epstein list.
Ah.
And Kimmel was like, let's take this to court, and then he dedicated 12 minutes of his monologue to making fun of Aaron Rodgers. So,
oh yeah, like, what's that, the old saying is, like, you never pick a fight with someone who buys their ink by the barrel, which is the thing, like, yeah. You're not supposed to start shit that own newspapers. This is an old-timey saying. Yep. You know, but yeah, no, that's now I'm gonna have to look that up. All right, it's good.
Yeah, I think Kimmel says Aaron only had two, he's talking about, like, how he didn't graduate from college and mm-hmm. he was a bad student. He's like, he only had 2 A's on his report card, and both of them were in his name. I was like, God, people did not choose kindness.
No, I guess not. All right. Well, I guess that's the challenge for the podcast for this year, is pick who you're going to have beef with, and then let us know. Email us and let us know who the beef is going to be with. You can do that at mattanddwight@gmail.com. We will let you know our decisions on who we're going to have beef with. I'm going to have beef with my feelings, man. I'm going to try and be more positive and not be in my feelings. And you know, and I'm sure everyone had a really valid excuse for not coming and supporting me do comedy, you know? And I'm sure none of that will come into play during the selection process for Limestone this year. You know, I'm just saying.
That's the trailer.
Yep. No, please don't put that in there, but that's fine. All right. Until next week, everybody, thank you for hanging out on a loose but very real one. I feel like this episode was, we got into some shit. It was good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I do want to end on positivity. Hell yeah, dude. You're going to crush it on that audition. And we'll talk more about your process next week and see how you're coming along on it.
Yes, sir. I'll let you guys know how it goes. And I will be putting in the work. I hope that you do the same. Keep us updated on your goals for the year. I want everybody to let us know how that's going. Any challenges you run into, and we can talk it through.
Yeah. I forgot to tell you, I did start free writing. I actually sat down and made myself start doing it yesterday, and I've done it this morning as well. So I'm it took me 9 days, but I'm getting going, man, on these resolutions. Hell yeah. And hopefully everybody else does too. Okay.
All right. See y'all.